We are coming to the end of our 40 days of studying God's Word. We'll end this week. But I want to just talk a wee bit about how we maintain, because this is not something we do for 40 days only. The skills and the habits that we have been trying to learn and develop and teach ourselves over the last 6 weeks are not something that lasts for 6 weeks only. It's 6 weeks where we are trying to encourage ourselves, train ourselves, learn new disciplines whereby we can learn a wee bit more about God's Word. And Jesus is very clear that this is a lifetime experience that we have. If you continue in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. If you continue in my Word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it's clear he didn't say do this for 6 weeks or do this for a year or do this. This is something you are to continue. And I want to think about that. How do we maintain a heart for God's Word? How do we integrate, make it part of our lives, every area of our life? Because the word integration, you know what segregation means, right? Segregation means to separate into groups. Right? You segment your life into to different parts, or you segregate people according to certain criteria. Right? And it's almost like your life is a pie and is divided into all these different pieces. And you might have your personal life, you could say. You have your church life. You have your home life. You have your sex life. You have your social life. You have your life with your pals or whatever. You split it into the sections that you decide for yourself. And if you do that and they become different and separate and different, all the different ways, then you have a segregated life. Your life lacks integration. And when we take that into our personal character, it's what we call integrity. We lack integrity. Integrity comes from the same word. And to have integrity means to live a life that's integrated. You don't have something over here, and you don't have something here. You don't have something at church and something at home. You act the same way at home, at work, in church. And there's no doubt that one of the issues that Christian people have faced over the years is when people have said, oh, you act like this at in the church, but you act differently outside. I remember a number of years ago, we had a baptism in the church, and there was a lot of visitors in, and someone came into the church to see one of our regular members who they worked with, and he goes, I never knew you went to church. That really shouldn't happen. People should know our life should be integrated. We shouldn't be keeping things separate. Everything should be joined together. And that's the kind of life that God encourages us to live. And if we want to be a person of the Word, that is the kind of life we need to live. How does that happen? Because it isn't going to happen unless you have a desire to do it, isn't it? It comes down to choice again. You decide to do this. You have to have an intention. This is my intention to integrate my life. If you don't, then you won't live an integrated life. And King David was one of the first to realize this, and he says in Psalm 119, the psalm that we've looked at a lot this week, I want most of all, in other words, the number one priority in his life, most of all, and at all times, right? That means it's not just a church thing, it's not just a thing I do here or there, it's at all times to honor your laws, to honor your word. That's what David wanted to do. He wanted to be a person of the word. What I'm like at home, at work, when I'm out playing golf, when I'm with the kids, I am consistent. I am a person of the word. And I want my life to be led and guided and directed by the word of God. So the question is, as we look forward and how we take these things that we've learned over the last 6 weeks, how do we put that into practice? Over the 6 weeks, we've been learning different Bible verses. I've been emphasizing different Bible verses. And these verses, I hope, will help us to do that and to remind us. Because we've spoken about having to memorize verses. And these verses are important to remind us how we integrate God's word in our life. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to determine to build our life in God's Word. We have to make that decision. In other words, we say, right, God, your Word is going to be the foundation. And we've spoken about this. And whatever type of foundation you have determines the height, the size of the building. The foundation is very important. You never actually see it, but it's very important to what you can actually build on it. And of course, the passage that we've used, well-known passage we've used to remind us of that, is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Well-known passage, simple to remember, easy to remember. And if we look on that passage, we know that he's saying that you've got a choice. You can build it on the rock of God's word, or you can build it on sand. And you build it on the rock of God's word because God's word, we have learned, is truth, and truth never changes. Opinions change all the time. It's amazing when you look back, 10, 20, 30 years, how opinions and understandings change. If something is true, it was true 1,000 years ago, it's true today, it'll be true in 1,000 years' time. Opinions do change, but the truth doesn't. So what that verse is saying is you build on the truth of God's word, because that truth never changes. And when things get difficult in our life and we're struggling with all sorts of issues, whether it's health or financial relationships, whatever comes into our life, if we've built on a solid foundation, then we won't crumble, our lives won't fall apart, we'll be able to deal with it because God has given us the tools in his word to do that. On the other hand, if we build our life on sand, what the Bible's saying, then we just see people's lives fall apart. You see that all the time. You see people who really, really struggle and end up with all sorts of issues in their life because they haven't built their life on the solid foundation. And the truth is, in our world today, the majority of people build their lives on shifting foundations. And at some stage in their life, things fall apart. And they do all sorts of things to try and solve these issues that happen. One of the things, of course, that people build their life on, there's a number of things that they choose to build their life on other than God's word. And one of the things, the most obvious things, and we spoke about this before, is popular culture and what the world teaches. They do it because everybody else is doing it. They do it because it's the fad. They do it because it's politically correct. They do it because that is what everybody around about them is doing. And the problem with that is that whatever is popular today is going to be unpopular tomorrow. And we see that all the time. Whatever's the style for today is not going to be the style for tomorrow. These things change. Whatever's cool today ain't going to be cool tomorrow. So that is an example of a changing foundation. It's going to change. It's not going to be solid. In Exodus, when the people of Israel are making idols because other people round about them are making them, God says, don't follow the crowd in doing the wrong thing. And it's very easy just to get caught up and go along because it's easy and it's simple. I'll just do what everybody else is doing. The crowd is not always right. And he's saying, don't build your life on shifting sand. You have to build your life on truth, the truth that we read in God's word. Of course, another thing that we can build our life on is tradition. A lot of people build their lives on tradition. In other words, I do it because I've always done it. And there's a circular reasoning in that. Oh, my parents have always done it that way. My grandparents have done it that way. I've always done it that way. I'll keep doing it that way. Now, tradition isn't bad. Tradition became tradition because it works. But it doesn't last forever. Truth lasts forever. Tradition doesn't last forever. Tradition will eventually wear out. It will become obsolete. It will become invalid. And what we have to do is recognize when it is no longer fit for the purpose that it was meant to be. And we were actually talking about this week at the Kirk Session meeting. We need to recognize when it's time to move on and move to something else. And even Jesus said this when he was talking with the religious leaders of the time. In Mark chapter 7 verse 8, he says, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And that happens in lots of different institutions in the world, and it happens in the church. There was a golf club this week, I can't remember, that eventually admitted women members. You know, but for years and years and years they haven't done it because that was the tradition. And now they've moved on. Tradition changes, and we have to recognise that. Just because we've always done it doesn't mean that it is right. You build on the truth. You don't put tradition before truth. Another thing that we often build our life on, a popular thing, is reason. And that's understandable again, because reason is reasonable. God gave us the ability to reason. But sometimes you think this is reasonable when it's actually not. I've always thought this, you know, it can be the line of thought. It doesn't really matter what you've always thought. What matters is what's the right thing to do in the circumstances. And sometimes when we rely on our reason or our intellect, sometimes we are lacking information to make a proper decision. And sometimes we say things, "Oh, well, I did that because I've always thought." Well, maybe your thought was wrong. And so it can be a mistake, so we need to be careful. Reason is a good thing, but it's not infallible. So we need to be careful if we're using reason. And in the book of Proverbs, which is full of good advice, chapter 16, verse 25, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. And how many times have we made a decision because we thought, "Oh, that's right, that's reasonable," and it turned out to be wrong? We've all done it. We've all done it. And so we just need to pause and think sometimes and think, right, okay, this is what I think is right, but what is it that God's word says? Because I've certainly done things I thought were right and reasonable that have turned out to be an absolute disaster. We make mistakes. It's not always as logical as we think. And another important one that we often build our life on, and people again struggle with this, is our emotions, our feelings. Some people build their life on their emotions. They build their lives on how they feel. Now, feelings are good because feelings produce things like compassion and love where we help other people. These are good, but to do something personally just for ourselves, I'm going to do it because it feels right. And we don't do something because it feels wrong. Our feelings change all the time. Our feelings depend on the circumstances round about us. Our feelings depend on how we feel that day. Some of us wake up some days and we think, "I'm just not feeling right today." We don't feel right. We had a good day yesterday and today there's something different. And of course, our feelings lie to us. They're very unreliable. How many of you have said, "What's up with her today?" Because they're not the usual set, because they don't feel right. Sometimes we don't just feel right. So in these moments where we don't feel right, we've got to realise that we're not quite responding the way we should. And we've got to think, what is it God says in this situation? Maybe I shouldn't react the way I am. Because your feelings manipulate your moods, and your moods manipulate your feelings. And the thing is that most of what gets accomplished in the world today is done by people who don't feel like doing what they have to do. If we all act in our feelings, half of you wouldn't get out of your bed in the morning. We're lying there going, "I don't really want to get up." You know, we would stay there. But we know we've got to get up. So our feelings are not always reliable. And so if you simply build your life in your feelings, there's a word for that, and it's really immaturity, because it's not the right thing. That's what children do. Maturity and wisdom is when you act according to your values and you act according to what you know is right. God's word. In the book of Judges, And I mean, this is like 5,000 years ago. It's a long time ago. People have been doing this for a long time. There's a phrase that keeps getting repeated in the book of Judges as the children of Israel experiences up and down in their relationships with God. And it's this: at the time there was no king in Israel, and the people did whatever they felt like doing. And that passage, that verse is repeated over and over again in Judges as the people experienced when they did what they felt like doing, they fell out of relationship with God and need to call on him again. And that keeps getting repeated, and it reminds us that doing what you feel like doing is not always the best thing. Doing what is right, doing what is in God's word, is the most reasonable thing to do. I was sitting looking through the TV guide the other day, and I was amazed, just flicking through all these channels that you get nowadays, I was amazed at how many programs had to do with relationships and love. And I was astonished, you know, Love on the Beach, Love Island, Love, I mean, I couldn't believe it. First Dates or Dates with Your Ex, and I don't even know, is there still Blind Dates? And there's all these things to do with love, because this is such a potent thing in our society, and it's held up there as being the be-all and end-all. And I was thinking about this in our approach, or the world's approach to love and relationships, and to what God says. And what the world seems to say is, if you want to be happy, then the first thing you've got to do is find the right person, and then you fall in love, and you fix all your hopes and your dreams in that one person, and all your future fulfillment is dependent around this one person, because they talk about what they're going to do together and all the rest. Now, if that doesn't work, because there's other programs to deal with it when it doesn't work, then what you do is you just repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And you just repeat it over and over and over, you know, as many times as it takes, you know. And it doesn't really matter how often you repeat it, but you just repeat it. You know, you find the right person, you fall in love, and then you fix all your hopes in them, and then it, you know, it just keeps going. So, what's God's prescription? What's the truth of what God would tell us to do in a situation of relations like that? Well, I believe that what the Bible tells us, what God wants us to do, instead of finding the right person, God wants you to become the right person. Because that's what the Bible's all about. Teaching us how to become the person that God's created us to do. You focus on building your own character into the image that God has made you in. You focus on making yourself the kind of person that is worthy of marriage. So you become the right person. And instead of falling in love, you walk in love, because as we saw last year when we were doing 40 Days in Love, love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's 100% under your control. You say, oh, I fell in love. You chose to fall in love. That's why people choose to fall out of love. Love is a choice. It's not an emotion. Love creates emotions. Love creates some wonderful emotions. But love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. It's said to somebody, I'm making your problems my problems. I'm choosing your need over my need. It's been other-centered rather than me-centered. So you become the right person and you walk in love. And then, of course, you take that relationship and you fix the hope of the future of that relationship on God. And you honour him throughout that relationship. You build your relationship on God's word and not on the world's says how these things should work. And that's the difference in so many areas of our life. You want to build your life in the word of God. I read some things that I think, I don't always like it. It's not always convenient to me. It's not always politically correct. But I am not God. And so even if I don't like it, even if it makes me, challenges me in a way that I do not like. If I have accepted God's word in my life, then I accept that. And I trust God and I move forward. And I say, God, I'm going to build my life on the Bible. Regardless if I like it, regardless if I agree with it, regardless if it's what I want to do, regardless if it's convenient in my life at this particular moment, I will build my life in your word. It is my final authority in everything I will do. And that's the first step to moving forward and making sure that everything we have learned in these last 6 weeks continues to mould us and shape us into the image of God that He created us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that these times of uncertainty and these times of challenge for us all, we can return to you, our rock, look to you, and know that we will find the answers. Lord, we thank you. Help us to lift our eyes. Help us to trust you and focus on you for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen.